This is a recording from CSIS. To help us improve our content, please take our short survey located at csis.org/survey.
Good afternoon. My name is Rick Ozzie Nelson. I'm director of the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Program here at the Center for Strategic International Studies. Today, we're joined by Mr. Thomas J. O'Reilly. He's a senior policy advisor for the Bureau of Justice Assistance at the Department of Justice, and he's currently director of the Nationwide Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative, or the NSI. He'll be discussing federal efforts to work with state and local law enforcement officials to improve the sharing of terrorism-related information. This event series on information sharing was made possible through the support of IBM. Tom, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Ozzie. I appreciate being here.
Could you please tell us what the Nationwide SAR Initiative is?
Yeah, it's a program that has its origin in the 9/11 Commission report, which basically identified the need for state, local, tribal governments to be able to literally connect the dots in terms of identify areas that are potential suspicious activity that could lead to a potential terrorism attack, to identify those, to be able to share that information in a timely fashion, consistent with privacy and civil liberties guidelines.
Hey, Mr. Riley, a number of recent reports have described the progress of the NSI's implementation. What are the participating agencies' next steps in terms of fully adopting information sharing technologies and standards on privacy and civil liberties?
Ozzie, right now, just as an overview, we have 12 sites that are operational. They were part of the initial evaluation environment. We're completing by October 1st another dozen to 15 sites. Each one of those, as we move forward, before they become operational, is required to draft, adopt, and train on a privacy policy so that each of the processes, starting with the line officer on the street, going up through the intelligence analyst in the fusion center, understand the parameters as it relates to privacy and civil liberties, and make sure that those policy considerations are adhered to as we sort through the information that comes into us, both from the citizens and law enforcement officers, before that information is shared.
Yeah, thank you. And Mr. O'Reilly, in the February 2010 status report, talked about extending the NSI process to what is called an all-crimes environment. What is this? Where does this effort stand?
Well, there's two issues here. In many cases, terrorism events are crimes, so we can't lose sight of that and that in many cases, traditional street crime can be used to either augment the precursor or the surveillance. Example would be a burglary or breaking and entering or a vandalism of a fence around a particular critical infrastructure. At first reaction might be that it is basically just a street crime or vandalism, when in fact it is a effort to probe the security, to test the response of the police, or to see whether there's another line of security inside the fence per se, like motion detectors, etc. But the big issue is that the 90% of the business of the fusion centers these days is dealing with the threat that comes to the community from a public safety perspective, basically from gangs, from Bloods, Crips, Latin Kings, as well as the Al-Qaeda and other types of terrorist threats. So we are looking at in particular, the ability to exchange information concerning street gangs. We're also looking at it as it relates to firearms trafficking and several other issues, predominantly trying to focus on those things that contribute to the level of violence in a community.
Thank you. And to date, what have been the most important lessons learned in terms of NSI coordination with non-government entities like the private sector, local communities, and even international partners?
Well, a couple things. I think that in terms of the private sector, we certainly know, but it's been reinforced, that 95% of the critical infrastructure out there is owned by the private sector, number one. Number two, we know that many of the targets that have been victimized by terrorists, whether they are jihadist, whether they are militia or other types of radical behavior, are like hotels, which are 100% owned in the private sector. Many of them have fairly robust, sophisticated security processes, but many of them don't necessarily exchange information from one property to another property or with the federal government. So we're working on that actually as we speak with the hotel associations in New Jersey, New York City, and Las Vegas to try to put together a pilot in terms of dealing with that. As it relates to the local governments, we realize that there are a number of employees who in the course of their day-to-day work are out and about in the community, who are familiar with the community, are familiar with what is an anomaly that potentially could be a precursor event, as well as what are issues that are unique to that particular community and certainly innocent types of behaviors that certainly we don't want to get engaged in or have any interaction on. Whether it's bus drivers or whether it's probation officers or whether it's housing inspector people, just to raise with them the issue as that particular behavior associated with a particular location, i.e. a critical infrastructure or a place that could have a high degree of victimization, such as a sporting event, a stadium, or a rush hour in a particular neighborhood, are things that they ought to be aware of. And just like somebody who sees somebody parked outside a bank for 3 days in a row, or somebody who sees somebody parked outside their neighbor's house at 2 o'clock in the morning, that is not a car that's recognized as being somebody from the neighborhood, they should pick up the phone and alert the law enforcement, who is trained in terms of trying to determine, again, what is an innocent behavior or potentially a terrorist precursor event.
Well, that's great. Thank you for joining us, Tom. That was Thomas J. O'Reilly, Director of the Nationwide Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For more, please visit csis.org.